All right, let's move on a little bit in terms of breast cancer treatment. And I'm curious about your take in terms of the evolving story on the long-term natural history of ER-positive versus ER-negative breast cancer in terms of recurrence rates and potential interventions, particularly delayed AIs. That seems like over the last 2-3 years, the emphasis has kind of shifted from upfront to what's going to happen down the line. What's your take on that biologically and clinically?
Well, I think there's two issues. I think it's certainly true is that the estrogen receptor negative cancers occur more frequently early and then occur less commonly, maybe after about 3 or 4 years, than the receptor positive cancers. And then both those tails go for a long period of time. So I think the concern about the estrogen receptor positive tail is a legitimate one. One of the things that I see where it seems to me is confusion is where people talk about what happens in the first 2 years of therapy. Because oftentimes the assumption is only what you see in the first 2 years is what the therapy effect is. And we know if you give AC over 0, 3, 6, 9 weeks, you're going to see differences in the hazard ratio year four. It's not because the therapy's still around. It's because you killed cancers that were going to recur in the fourth year. And if you didn't give that therapy, those cancers would recur. And I think the other thing that I think people could understand from chemotherapy, and if you gave that AC therapy 2 years later, you'd think you wouldn't cure as many patients because they had more period to get bigger, more period to develop mutations. And so when people talk about, a lot of people like to compare the first 2 years of tamoxifen versus AI and say, this is your cost. That's not your cost. Your cost would be only if you knew what giving aromatase inhibitors starting 2 years later would be compared to starting it at the time. So I think the big concept is right, but the concept of just looking at the first 2 years is not too correct. So I think we're headed towards longer duration hormonal therapy. I must admit, I'm a little surprised if we're killing cancer in 5 years of therapy, why you need more therapy. Maybe the other part that should be just as surprising is why nobody seems to be interested in giving chemotherapy later. We had the same issue. I mean, you know, we learned from the early trialists, breast cancer trialists, now that the chemotherapy effect is over at 5 years. You're done. You know, so if you had chemotherapy or not, and you're disease-free at 5 years, your chance of recurrence subsequently for that whole period of time is the same as if you didn't get any therapy.
Is there any discussion about delayed chemotherapy?
Well, there should be, especially as a chemotherapy now. You know, we have things like capecitabine, where you say, well, how bad would that be, right? If you were at high risk and you had a combination that was different. So I think in a certain sense, these ER-positive and ER-negative groups have to inform each other in terms of study design. And I think we all have these biases. I mean, the hormones we're thinking about giving forever. So I think we have to put together the concepts from both chemotherapy and hormone therapy to come at the best study designs and the best questions.
Is there kind of a rule of thumb that you use clinically to estimate what the patient's residual risk of relapse might be at a given point? There's so many variables. There's some women who never got hormonal therapy, for example, and are now 10, 15 years out. Other women who got hormonal therapy, say tamoxifen, but it's been stopped for 5 or 10 years. I assume when you see patients like that, one of the things you're thinking about is, okay, what's their residual risk of relapse?
You're exactly right. There's so many variables that it's very difficult to actually calculate that. We have the numbers from the other trials that a woman at least diagnosed 15 years ago uses up only half of her risk of recurrence in the first 5 years, only a third of her risk of dying. And it's got to be more tail-loaded now because we got earlier diagnosis and more effective kind of treatment. So it's back again to this question of what kind of threshold of treatment effect do you need to want to give an intervention? And it depends on the toxicity of the intervention as well.